What we are focusing on in these two accounts, one written by Buber with respect to Pascal, and then developing the point in terms of his experience with the worker, leads us to a new preoccupation, a preoccupation that we have not encountered in any of the 19th century thinkers that we have spoken about, to relocate the absolute as a living subject rather than an object. Clearly, we are speaking here about mysticism, oriental religions, dialogical faith. All of these words can be found in the vocabulary of Christian philosophy in this period of time. But as you will see, Buber draws from a wide variety of sources. What he uniquely develops leaves its impact not only in this case on Jewish thought, but on Christian thought. I should say parenthetically that of all the thinkers in this course, I can bet, put my money on the fact that Buber is more well known within the larger world of theology and philosophy than any of the other thinkers we have dealt with. And that, of course, forces us to ask the question, why is his impact greater even in the Christian world than even in the Jewish world? We will come back to that question before too long. Buber's preoccupation, the eclipse of God, the loss of the absolute, is also a condition which is accompanied by the eclipse of man. Before one can recover God, one must overcome that sense of alienation, that lack of openness and spontaneity which characterize human relationships. The problem of losing God in our own lives begins with our inability to relate to other human beings in the fullest human sense of the word. Human beings know the world insufficiently by knowing it only one-dimensionally. There are basically two kinds of relationships for Buber which characterize the definition of our humanity and our ability to relate to other human beings. The first relationship he calls I-it, and the second relationship he calls I-thou. The I-it relationship is a relationship to objects. When you use the word experience, analyze, use, you are referring to a relationship between me and an object. I sit on that chair. I lean on that table. I eat this food. I experience this movie or this concert. These are I-it relationships. Sometimes the I-it relationship can also extend to human beings. I use this person to get ahead. I go out with this pretty woman because it makes me feel more important, and therefore I'm using that person for my own self-edification, and so on. And what then is the I-thou relationship? A means of approach that surpasses handling and manipulation. It is defined as that state of betweenness which is most completely human, defined against the background of existential incompletion. Now, of course, the problem of I-thou, and Buber has this remarkable book, which is read by so many students of modern thought called I-thou. Am I really defining I-thou by the few words that I've given you, or can I give you a definition of I-thou? The book is a very difficult book to read. It doesn't have a beginning or an end. It is just filled with meditations and reflections and experiences and profound thoughts that go in and out, and you have to sort of, what he is trying to do is not simply give you a kind of I-it definition of the subject. He is trying to engage you as a reader in an I-thou relationship. And therefore, the book doesn't read like an ordinary book from cover to cover, from beginning to end. Perhaps in order to step out of the framework of describing the I-thou relationship through an I-it mode, I need to illuminate, to illustrate this by speaking about personal experiences, which perhaps can get us closer to the definition that we are seeking. Let me provide to you two examples, which are indeed very Buberian, which are Buber himself would have used in his own writing. There is no coincidence that Buber spends a lot of time teaching about education and educational theory. Clearly, one relationship which we know so well, or at least I know so well as a professor, is the relationship between teacher and student. What is going on in a large university classroom